All right, and welcome to MOR, the Underground Subcast. This week, we are excited to bring in our good friend, Ian Thomason. He is tied to the famous and amazing Mile of Music, also tied to a lot of other good festivals. This week, though, we are going to kick things off with a band recommended by my good friend, Bram Epstein, of the band Global Plague. This band is called Torrential Rain, and this is a song called Deaf Ears.
Try to listen, I'll do my best to free you from this prison. Why won't you see this ain't a competition? The words I speak to you don't matter at all. It's like punching a wall. It's like you're falling away from me but still sticking around to witness my misery as I crown. The more I hold on to you, the more you let go. Can you even tell it all?
The feeling is mutual.
Bringing to life my darkest premonition. The words I speak to you don't matter at all.
All right. We are live with our good friend Ian Thompson out of Appleton, Wisconsin. And I had the pleasure of meeting Ian a couple of years ago. We've been friends for a while now. We were introduced via Mile of Music, an amazing music festival up in the Appleton, Wisconsin area. And we've got you here on MOR, and we appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us and talk some stories and share your insight into the music industry. So thank you for being here, sir. Let's kick things up.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Good, good. I forgot about the delay.
Really happy to be here.
Yeah, slight delay.
Slight delay.
I'll have the NASA reposition our MOR satellite later so we don't have that issue in the future. Sorry.
So I'll kick things off. Go ahead.
What?
Is this a time zone delay issue?
Awesome. Yeah, probably. You guys are Central Time. Yeah, correct. You're an hour behind us as well. Yeah. But
yeah, yeah.
It's about 3 seconds, so we'll just count it out.
I can edit. Questions. I'll edit most of the pauses. Well, just make sure you give it to him.
It's, yeah. It's like when they're like, all right, Dave, how's the weather down there? And he's like, well, Jim, you know, it's something that really, and they're trying to have a conversation. They're just like,
is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't hearing you. You're just down a little. Yeah. I guess the other key is if you're talking and we're still talking, we'll shut up and you keep talking. So
Correct.
Don't feel like you're interrupting us. We just know there's a delay. Yeah.
All right. I will kick things off. Ian, please do me a favor and talk to us about your experience in festivals. I know you're a avid festival goer in general, but we would love to hear kind of your history, not only attending the festivals, but being involved in them and being so passionate about what festivals do for musicians.
Yeah, man, I just love the festival landscape, the culture of it. It's been going to them for a while. I think I'm at total of like 29 total festivals, including, you know, Mile of Music. You know, from a consumer standpoint, from, you know, a fan, it's the best bang for the buck for the ones who are ticketed. I mean, we went to Bonnaroo a few years ago and, you know, paid, you know, only a few hundred dollars a ticket. And, you know, you get to see Paul McCartney and Tom Petty and, you know, hundreds, Jack Johnson, hundreds of others on that lineup. So like, you know, cost for just to see one of those artists would be in that range, and now you're seeing hundreds. So, you know, there's that aspect as well as the camaraderie. Like, there's a whole vibe, like a whole cultural vibe that happens at these events where you go and you're just, especially the camping ones, you camp next to somebody you've never met before. By the end of the weekend, you know, you're like, you know, some of the best people you ever met on the planet. And it's just, you're all there to share in one experience, which is to share in discovering new music and just to have fun and celebrate music and art and all coming together. That big inclusivity aspect of it is pretty amazing. It just becomes one big community, really. And which led me into just, you know, now I'm just humbled to be working in that world and being a part of it. And I think when you see what it does for artists, when they get a festival billing, again, it gives them a chance to be in front of a large group of passionate people who want to discover their music and, you know, have be a part of that community as well. And I think it's a community for the fans and the artists alike when you go to festivals.
Cool.
Awesome. And then, Ian, if you can describe what the magic of Appleton, Wisconsin is to someone who doesn't know where that is or what it's about. Because honestly, like, going up there, I mean, like, I always heard stories from Ben is such a cool place. And I was like, I was thinking about it because he was telling me, like, it's a small town, but there's like a lot of really cool stuff. And it's always interesting, like, when you're thinking on your way up there, like, oh, is this really all the hype that it is being brought up to be? And like, for me, like, it was a life changing experience for me for sure. So kind of describe to someone, especially like a musician who's up and coming, like what Appleton, Wisconsin does for music and also just the people in general.
Yeah, I think it's we've been here. My wife, Jess, and I have been here for about 13 years now. We're transplants to this area from Allentown, Pennsylvania. So it's you know, that part of the world is a lot larger than here. But we've really grown to love being in the Appleton area. We do live downtown Appleton, and just the Midwestern nice. You know, you hear a lot about that, and it is true. I remember you know, we first moved here, we had our dog at the time, and I was walking him downtown on the street, and people are walking by saying hello. And it, that never happened, you know, in the part of the world where I grew up in.
Right.
And that really
if they did, you hand them your really wallet.
Yeah. it really transcends into how we approach the music scene here. Specifically for the festival, we're an artist focused, a community forward festival. So by that, it really just means that we're going to make sure that, you know, we're going to be have the hospitality portion and the respect given to the artists, and they're going to be taking care of every single step of the way. And the community then steps up and goes forward with what they're doing. So when the artists come in, you know, when we're from the initial point of contact all the way to where they're loading out and leaving, we're making sure that they are basically VIPs all the way, right. You know, they're headliners, you know, all the way through the whole process. Some of the things that the community has stepped up to help them with, we have what's called an artist care program for the festival. So if you are performing artists, you get access to dental care, audiology, massage therapy, numerous other services for performing artists. And that also carries through. So if you were able to route back and you had, you know, another toothache, you can go and get that taken care of. And it's all covered, you know, by these, you know, amazing community members.
Hey, Ian.
Yeah.
I have to inject here because it's a perfect spot for it, but it was our last mile as a community that we were part of. And there was an amazing story about a young woman that came out. I think it was after Mile, if I read the article properly. And because of that care factor, she actually was able to get a mammogram, I believe. And she found out that she had, I believe it was breast cancer. And she was quoted for saying that she didn't have insurance. She would not have been able, she never would have known had it not been for the opportunity that she had at Mile. And I remember reading that and thinking back over all the years that I've been lucky enough to be a part of Mile since Mile 2 and what it does not only for the community, for my friends like Bram and the people who have experienced it, but for these artists that I never saw her sets. I didn't even actually – I don't remember seeing her on the list of artists that I was going to go see in my, you know, my itinerary. But I thought that was such a moving and powerful story. To me, that was almost the epitome of what Mile is on so many levels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really, you know, it's an amazing, again, that artist care program, it's just such an amazing venture, you know, what the community was able to step up and do for us. You know, it's just proof that it works, and thankfully they were able to help these people out. You know, another part that I was going to go into about what we do here in Appleton might be a little bit differently is, since we are a small market, we're all, you know, we're on the way to Green Bay, we're 2 hours, you know, from Madison and Milwaukee, which are two larger markets. But, you know, we like to say we're a builder market, you know, for developing artists. You come here, you might, you know, play the festival, but be able to build upon that to when you route back through and build that fan base and build it into a ticketed show. And the people just love discovering new music. They just love you know, those bands that are road warriors, and they really do come out and support them, and they buy the merch. The CD is still a viable item to purchase here. So I always tell people, you know, when you're coming to Appleton, stock up on your hard and soft merch. So.
Yeah. I think the coolest thing that I noticed for sure was that, the venues, usually the bigger ones, but they would always just be packed to the brim, and you'd ask like, oh, who's playing? And they'd be like, I have no idea. Like, I'm just here to have a good time, brother.
Who cares, man?
Cheese curds and beer, brother. But no, I mean, every show I've been to was just so packed, and just everybody was so, even if it was like, you know, you'd see people kind of come in and out depending on what their vibe was, but they'd at least give it a chance, you know, opposed to a lot of like the common original music scene is, you know, people only want to go to things that they know and they've seen a million times or whatever. But yeah, it's such a cool place. And we were talking about this before we started, but I actually, that was when I like really launched my company and quit my day job, was at Mile because I got so much business from it and so many people. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I called my dad. That's awesome. I was like, look, I'm not doing t-shirt sales no more.
The day after.
Yeah, I walked in, yeah, because like we drove back Sunday. Monday I went into work, I walked right in, and I was like, yeah, I'm done. And I just, I went in, my manager wasn't there, but I just said goodbye to everybody. They're like, you're not doing it 2 weeks? I'm like, oh, fuck that. I'm leaving. I'm about to be on the road with some bands, dog. I ain't got time to quote out embroidery.
Fun. So, And the stuff you described, is that it's amazing, and it's got to be unique, I would think, in the festival market. Was all this in place with the very first Mile, or did it take a year to get everybody on board? And how did you get everybody on board so quickly on an untested concept like this?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and it's a great question, because the first year was kind of a cluster. To be completely frank,
yeah, we've tried it ourselves. They are clusters. Yeah.
it was thrown together, you know, very short. There was a short lead time. But it took off. Like it worked. And it was really a testament of the community grasping it and supporting it, because if we didn't have the support from the community and they didn't take to it, we would never be where we are today. So then, you know, subsequently after that, some of these community members, like, you know, from our dentistry services, they stepped up and said, you know, hey, how can we help? How can we give back to these artists who spend, you know, 200 plus dates of the year out on the road? They're not getting access to they don't live a healthy lifestyle. They don't have access to healthcare. How can we help here when they come through town? What can we do? And so they got a group of people together. So from the second year and so on, it kind of just kept growing. So it was really more of an organic movement that this thing continued to blossom and continues to grow today.
Well, I guess the follow-up question then is, anything you haven't gotten to yet that you're still dreaming about throwing into this package?
You never know. Like there's certain things that I'd like to see, you know, as far as... one would be, I like to see some financial aid, you know, like if we had some financial planners, there was, you know, to sit down with some of these artists and say, you know, hey, because these artists, they are small businesses, right? So how do we help manage their income, their outcome? You know, how do we help them, you know, set up for, I just look back and I'm like, man, if we had something like that set up for like a pre-COVID, some of these artists maybe might be in a little bit, in better shape. Coming through this.
We almost did in Indianapolis because Ben and I were talking about a program we wanted to kind of put together, which I think it's still an idea.
It is, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, why don't you mention that, because it's kind of on that topic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry. I you caught me off guard. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, no, you're good. Well, yeah, no, like, and I don't know if, did you talk to Ian about it?
Last? No, okay. I haven't talked to him about it.
So it was there's a theater.
Put him on the spot. Yeah. Interview.
Sorry, I wasn't ready
Ben's
for
like,
that.
Well, I was no, looking at how much wine I had left.
It's a great part. I just wasn't ready for it.
No, it's all good. Well, I'll take it off then. So yeah, no, after we did Skyline Sessions, the rooftop concert series, we had this new theater that was granting us access while they were doing these renovations to start a music business school, or like kind of whiteboard session idea, where we bring in speakers of different parts of the music industry, whether it's venue owners or booking agents, musicians themselves, business people, to kind of talk about, like, you know, what's it like to be on the road, how do you stay profitable, how do you keep things going when you're not playing shows and stuff like that. So,
and that idea, I'm sorry, now I do kind of, the idea came from Mile, because one thing that we all talked about from, you know, the bands like Viseria, you know, Corey Williams, Katie Peterson, all these artists that you were very kind and, you know, helping me get into Mile, and even Kirk Kempen and his stint. We always talked about afterwards, that high, that Sunday morning, we're all drinking coffee at one of the wonderful coffee shops local to Appleton, Wisconsin. And we're all talking about, like, we were so motivated. Bram was motivated enough to quit his
job.
And for a week, you're just talking about it. You're sharing pictures. Yeah. We're all just reminiscing. Mile does the beautiful, what do you miss already?
Yeah.
It's been a week. Where are you at?
Leaving is depressing.
And my thought process was, the beauty of that was the conversations and the experiences, the music in the park, the educational opportunities we offer at Mile, that I was like, how do you take that, that essence, that empowering experience, and put that into something that a city could go on a weekly? There are these classes, these opportunities to listen to speakers, or maybe even artists that are on tour that are like, I need a Wednesday show, and there's not a Wednesday show to play, or one that'd be profitable. Hey, how about this? What if we, you know, give you guys some food, we give you a little bit of scratch money, but you come in and you talk to a group of young musicians and talk about what it's like being on the road. And so that's where that concept kind of came from, but that was a byproduct of my experience at Mile for so many years.
That's interesting. I always like to see that whole give back, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, that's kind of been a big thing. I think it's always has been a thing, but I think, you know, you've seen it more prevalent now during these COVID times, where you're seeing other artists supporting artists, where they're cross promoting or saying, hey, you know, my buddy's band is, you know, just released a new single, and they're posting on their own social saying, hey, my friend's band just released a new single.
Right.
Get out and support that. And that's awesome. I'd love to see more of that transcend, maybe even kind of a little bit of, like a conference setup. I mean, Mile is kind of like a little summer camp for artists. They all come here and they're all like, oh, Ben, I haven't seen you in three months since we played indie, or, you know, whatever it is. And I'd also like to see kind of a, you know, maybe like there's a nutritional talk where there's how to stay healthy when you're on the road.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Especially now during all this, I think really coming to focus on our health is extremely important.
Yeah. So I'd like to position, and you can approach this however you like. I want to know one of the best experiences you've had, whether it was Mile or another festival you've attended, but directly with an artist. And then I want to know one of the most awkward/worst experiences you've had similar setting.
With that same artist.
With that same artist. No, any artist you want. But I'd like to hear both. I'd like to hear both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, I think I'll give a couple.
Please.
Mainly Miles, like, it, you know, as I'm working the event, I don't really get a chance to take a lot of it in.
For sure.
You know, we book a lot of these artists, and I know I'll meet up with you, you know, when you guys are staying at our place, you're like, oh, did you see, you know, so-and-so, like, they're just killing it. I'm like, no.
Don't talk to me right now.
I was just like, that's great. It's I'm happy. They're amazing. Like, you know, there's just certain little ones like that
for sure,
that come up. But from a fan standpoint, I have to say probably, I just go back to like Bonnaroo 2013, being able to see Paul McCartney in that environment. Obviously I didn't get a chance to interact with him.
What?
You didn't follow him back to his bus?
I was like, yeah, it's like I'm with Mile of Music.
I know Ben Cannon.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can sleep on my couch.
But it was just such an experience to be in a field with 90,000 other people for 3 hours singing and dancing. And, you know, you walk over Kool-Aid Smiles and then you go to a rock and soul super jam late at night. And there's, you know, John Oates, Jim James, Brittany Howard, Billy Idol, all on the stage at the same time. You know, then it was just an incredible experience that year. But if you're coming back to the Mile side, I mean, out of the course of 7 years with thousands of artists, to be quite honest, it's hard to pick just one experience that stands out for me. I think I have to, one of the things that does, like, is fresh in my memory.
Yeah.
Is Mile 7 when we had, you know, the first night we put Pip the Pansy on the main stage at Houdini Plaza.
Yep.
You know, kind of electronic sound, you know, it's just her tracking or keyboards, and there's, you know, 2,000 people there, and they showed up, and we were able to get young people involved. And that was the first year we saw a really large contingent of younger people coming out, and it really warmed my heart to see that, because we've tried that for so long, And we really started to see some of our, you know, really that community aspect, that people from other members of our community were coming out to see shows. And another one that experienced too was Lowdown Brass Band.
Yes. Brass Band. They were from great. Chicago. Yes.
Same stage, put them on that stage, just seeing so many, like, just what our mission was and is for that, for the festival, is inclusivity, right? Bringing everyone from the community together. And you saw that in that moment. And it was really special just to be standing behind the stage and just looking and seeing people dance. Yeah. And, you know, it was like 60s, you know, an older person next to a younger person. Yeah. It was really cool.
Some of my favorite experiences in any show I've done in Indianapolis or somewhere else is that moment where you can stand by the stage. You have that luxury of being there because you're helping put on the event, or, you know somebody that is. But looking out into the audience has always been one of the great romances of my later years, because I grew up, you know, going to festivals and all these shows. I've kept every ticket stub since my grandma took me to the Beach Boys and I was sick and she refused to leave because it's the Beach Boys. We're staying. I bought these tickets. You can deal. So I slept in a seat next to my grandmother.
Heal yourself.
Yeah. Figure it out. And all those experiences, being able to be behind the stage mm-hmm. to know these artists on some level, or in that immediate moment of, you know, they're sound checking and talking to them briefly. Do you have everything? Do you need it? You know, do you need water, whatever? And they're like, we're ready. Let's do this. And to watch them get that engagement from an audience like Mile, it still to this day gives me just chills. Like, it's just such an amazing experience. It's hard to put into words. Hold on, Amazon's dropping something off.
Our sushi is here.
I literally left a specific message saying, do not ring the doorbell, just leave it at the door.
One second, we can edit this.
But it's paid for, I don't have to go give the guy money.
No.
I'll go get that real quick.
Okay. You should leave this in.
Yeah. Actually, never mind, we will leave this in.
Hey, now that we're on the topic of a food, this might be a hot button question and it might get you in a lot of trouble. And if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. Who has the best cheese curds on the strip?
Oh,
Stone Arch.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. Not on the strip, but yeah, Stone Arch.
Which one was that? Was that
Stone Arch was off the beaten path that
we went
to. Was
that next to the railroad?
It's the brewery.
Yeah, a little brewery. They used to, I don't think Seven, they had a lot of patio shows due to weather, but most Miles they had patio shows.
Yeah, we moved it into the tap room.
That's right.
Yeah, that place is massive. It has, like, every time I turn a corner, there's another whole part of the section that I haven't seen. Like, every time I try to go to the bathroom, I would walk through, like, a kitchen, a basement, five different doorways, a pool table. There's dudes running numbers in the back on horse races. Like, there's all kinds of things going on that I didn't understand.
I mean, life moves on, brother.
Yeah. Right.
So I have to ask a question real quick. Who is the band, Mile 7, he is the youngest Hanson brother, but he goes under a pseudo-name?
Mac Hansen.
Yeah. And what was the band name?
Joshua and the Holy Rollers.
Joshua and the Holy Rollers. That band at
the main stage.
No, the Irish pub.
McFleshman's.
That show was unreal. So I'm standing on the stairwell at the very top looking down onto the stage. Yeah. And I've got members of St. Aubyn standing next to me, Joshua Powell, and we're all watching this guy just own this crowd. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, this is 70s sex rock at its peak. Yeah. Like, this is just one of the most brilliant, like, things. And it wasn't that they did anything new. They just did what they did so well.
Yeah.
And it was such a fun show. And I remember standing there next to all these other musicians, and they're all like, man, we got to work on our stage presence. And I'll never forget that, because it was such a humbling moment for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, yeah, we need to grow out our hair. We need to have less buttons buttoned.
And they were the nicest guys. They were so freaking nice. Like, they were just super cool.
Yeah, he's really, really cool, laid-back guy. All of them were.
They all were, yes.
Great. And just had a blast.
I remember, and I don't know if it was a friend of theirs. On some level in my head, I'm like, somebody knew them and did this just for effect. Yeah. But there were two bras that were throwing on stage at an Irish pub in the garden, downtown Appleton, Wisconsin. And these guys are just playing hair band 70s rock. And I'm like, yep, this is pretty great. This is pretty awesome.
No, it's funny too. It was also like, because I was filming there, I didn't really have like a special pass or anything. I just had like a friend of a friend pass. And I remember going, I forgot what the big main stage, like the biggest stage is, like the
Jones Park.
Yeah. I was just standing on the side taking pictures, and one of the stage guys was like, "Hey, buddy, you wanna go on stage?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." So then that's when I met Joshua and the Holy Rollers. Yeah. I was like, "Hey, guys, you know, I'm gonna be filming." They're like, "All right, brother, yeah."
Yeah.
And I stood right next to like all of them. Like I was stand like not like sneakily. I was standing right next to them while they were playing in front of everyone. And it was some of the best footage I ever got. But I think it's just like also like a testament to just how open and nice. Like everyone there's just like, "Yeah, you do whatever you want. Like as long as you're." Doing, they're not like hurting anyone, you're fine.
Yeah. I remember down at Jones, because you have like the back stage part has those built in restrooms. Mm-hmm. Jess actually walked in on one of the dudes peeing.
So from the band?
Yeah. They were like, she's like, "Oh, this one's locked." And Mac was like, "Oh, use that one over there." She like goes in. And she's like, "What the hell?"
And for those,
and he's like, "I'll move over if you need to use it."
For those of you listening, Jess is Ian's amazing wife, who's very hospitable every time we go into town. Big music lover as well. So shout out to Jess, who's not here right now, but
she's all right.
She's all right. Yep, that happens. I get it. I've been married once.
We have a Mr. M. Cavalier who wanted to dial in.
Oh.
Should we be taking phone calls?
Audible.
Tell him we'll do that in a minute.
All right.
Ian, I got a question for you, sure. And I think that you've got to give me a straight answer here. You can't give me the standard, "Oh, there's so many."
The Wisconsin roundabout.
Unsigned. And you can't also you can't use one that I know that you currently work with. Unsigned artist that you absolutely love what they're doing right now. From everything from online media approach, whether it's clever, humorous, standard, to the music they're producing and excited to see them on stage eventually soon. Give me one artist.
I give you Barty Strange.
Who?
Barty Strange.
Okay. Where are they from?
He's from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I think, you know, critically acclaimed, probably one of the best records of 2020 he dropped. He played Mile 7.
Okay.
He was at Mile 6 with Lizzie Nose Band. He's premiering on...
I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Late night with Seth Meyers on Monday.
That's awesome. That's great.
The guy is just... absolutely incredible.
And what style of music is it?
It's hard to describe, really. I mean,
so this is up Darren's alley, then I can guarantee it right now.
Obscure and stretched.
Pinpoint what it is. It's just, it's awesome. Like, that's like it creates, I think, when you talk about genre, I think genre, the term genre and picking one form is starting to disappear now. I mean, I think for us who love music, it's just more about the vibe, right? What am I in a mood to listen to? I'm in a mood to listen to, you know, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. I'm in a mood to listen to some metal. Cool. Put that on. That's my vibe today.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Bartese's music is. It's just, it creates a completely different vibe. It's hard to say what genre, like for me, I can't tell you what kind of genre it is.
I think that, and the thing about genres too is that now there's so many new incorporations and so many easier ways to have like backing tracks and different like production elements in it. It's like it's more cinematic. It's more like it's an entertainment. It's a show. So it's like you can. There's a lot of bands that do really out there stuff because that just, you know, whatever part of the album, you know, they're trying to put it through, which I think a good band that does that is Nothing But Thieves, which Ben and I like. I don't know if Darren...
absolutely love that band.
But Nothing But Thieves is great.
Sorry, what?
If it's not Yes, he doesn't care.
Their most recent album is so cool. I mean, every song they do is just so good, but they just, you know, they're always doing different things. They're always trying to push the boundaries, so it's always cool, man. But we got a little pieces of paper over here.
Yeah.
I got to give another shout out then. Another one that I'm really, really digging is
Even though I said
Steffi
one.
James. Yeah, I know you said one, but.
That's fair.
We're going to have to bill you for a second. Steffi James.
Yeah. Incredible, soulful voice. I mean, her music is. You put it on, if you were just to like close your eyes and listen to it, you can kind of see it being a soundtrack to a film.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Very cool. So we are going to wrap things up here a little bit. We do a thing called Lightning Round, and obviously probably
Lightning Round.
Very professional. We're each going to ask you some random questions, and you need to give us honestly the first thought that comes to your mind. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Brame, go ahead. You start.
All right, lightning round question number one. You have an accident and can only remember how to play one song for the rest of your life. Which one do you choose, and why is it Wonderwall?
No, but about if there's one song you can play for the rest of your life, what do you hope it is?
It's Wonderwall.
Yeah, oh, good. Yeah, makes sense. At least he could still pay for the medical treatment. Nice. Cool.
Is it Wonderwall? Are you sticking with that?
I was thinking, yeah.
There you go.
Valid.
Today's going to be the day.
Which famous dead musician would you least want to be haunted by, and why?
Let me go with Elvis.
Okay, why?
Mainly because he's still everywhere.
it'd be in super... a way, he haunts us all still.
You probably also can't understand what he's saying. He's like, hey,
well, there's that, but I mean, it would be that continuous loop of a nightmare. Like, you couldn't get out of it. Like, he'd be in your house, like in your bedroom, over top of your bed, and then you'd go to like, I don't know, somewhere, and there's like a guy dressed like him. You'd be like, holy, there he is again. And then, you know, you turn on the radio and there he is, and you just...
I like it.
You think about the 15 years, all the great answers we've had, and Elvis has never come up before.
No, it has not come up.
You get a lot of James Brown hiding in the rafters going, $50, wrong note! Or Jim Morrison sitting on your couch going, death is the only release. There's a whole lot of people you don't want. So, right, my turn?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So it's kind of like your VHS porn collection you're hiding from the wife. You've got it tucked in your golf bag or under the seat of your car. What's that one CD? Yeah. What's that one CD you don't want your friends to know that you listen to?
Oh, Guilty Pleasure would be...
Yeah.
Crap. Copacabana.
Oh,
Little Barry. Talk about your mobile disco, bringing it back around. Yeah.
I know this guy. All right.
Cool.
I definitely expected like Selena Gomez or something.
Yeah.
My turn.
That's a good choice. That might be the runner-up for the song I
you want to remember?
Selena Gomez is the song? Gotcha.
I really did thought you would say something like that.
These hips don't lie.
Yeah. All right.
That's Shakira. Oh, sorry. Down.
I can't tell the difference.
Lightning round question number four. If you could rid the world of one song, which would it be, and why is it Wonderwall?
I'd have to go with Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little elaboration?
Yeah, because it's, you know, Oasis.
And that's all the time we have for today.
All right.
We look forward to your letters.
What was the best concert you went to? And who and when did you go to this show?
Kind of stole my idea, but that's fine.
We'll figure another one out.
All right.
Oh, man. Best concert I ever went to.
And we edit out the pauses. Take your time.
Good, because it's hard to say the best.
You can do it.
I've never been one, you know, and I want to give canned answers, but I've never been one to like be like, this is my favorite or this is the best one.
Just give us one that you can think of, though, like something that moved you. Like for me, for example, like I'm not a U2 fan, to be honest. I don't own a single album, but I was lucky enough to be gifted a ticket, and I went with a friend to see their tour that was Everything You Can't Leave Behind. Hands down, one of the best fucking performances I've ever seen.
That was me with Joe Cocker.
Okay.
Got a free Joe Cocker ticket. Never really thought twice about it, but saw him live and went, oh, this is why they think he's amazing.
So just pick one.
Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, 1994.
Nice. I saw that tour.
Where'd you see that at?
In Philly.
Okay, and with who?
Just a friend of mine at the time.
Nice.
Yeah, so did you have that magic moment we had where I guess they did a little intermission. We went out to the balcony to have a cigarette. We looked at my buddy and went, this is the closest we'll get to seeing Led Zeppelin. We're practically seeing Led Zeppelin. You know, like, never thought it would happen. Was that kind of the vibe? Like, I'm breathing the same air as these two.
And I think that was definitely the vibe just from the crowd. You know, it was Rust at Root kicked off the show.
Oh, nice.
I've seen them as well, too.
A high level of energy. And then they came out. And that little arena was just electric and loud and... You know, like, I mean, we had that moment too of like, we'll never get a chance to see this again. Yeah. And then, you know, seeing Plant solo is pretty cool. But just seeing them together with the songs, like in original format, but then also reimagined with the orchestra was really cool too.
I think you sat there for the first half of one song. You went, can they still do it? Does his voice really? No, they're fine. And then you relax for the rest of the show. Like, it's great. Yeah.
They're going to live another 100 years.
You can do whatever else. But yeah, because sometimes Plant's a little rough. You know.
All right. One more question. Darren's going to wrap it up for us.
Was there ever a style of music or a band or an artist in particular that it just didn't grow on you, but then you just learned to love it a few months later after hearing it enough?
Oh, shit. I could do this.
Anything that Ben sends me?
Okay. I'm with you.
Super valid statement.
Still working on it. I still don't get Cole Woodruff, but okay. I guess at some point. Ryan Brewer, I don't know what that's all
Cole
about.
Cole Woodruff.
I'm totally joking. I love everything that Ben sends me, to be honest. I'm gonna go with like, I don't know what you would call it. It's like a pop... Not just pop, but like synth pop.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. As like if we had to talk about again going back to a certain genre or style.
Right.
You know, just something that it didn't really, you know, what didn't hit me, but now I'm starting to like, oh, okay, this is cool. And you know, as like, you know, when I'm buying for the festival, you're starting to look at having a larger view of things and going, okay, well, yeah, I could see certain people liking this or certain people liking that.
Actually, that would actually be my answer, because I remember in the 80s when I was a metal kid, and I just didn't get Tears for Fears, and I didn't get Duran Duran, and now it's like, most of what I listen to that's current is that style of music, and now I'm really into that old 80s synth sound. And I was a keyboard player in the 80s, but I was doing Deep Purple and so that stuff.
That poses something interesting. So I've noticed this. When I was growing up, I was more hard rock, garage rock, heavy metal, in some aspects, not as heavy as you. Never as heavy as
never
Bram.
Never as heavy as Bram.
Bram's
welcome
way too
to the
heavy.
Dark side. Yeah.
But now it's a nostalgia thing, I guess,
it is,
that we go back to that.
I do, and I've noticed, especially recently, I've been kind of going back and revisiting some albums. But what's interesting to what you said is, I grew up that way, but as I've gotten older, and I have kids, and I don't know if that factors in or whatever, but I enjoy more pop music now. Yeah, and I don't know if it's just because I... just want something more spoon-fed to me on some level, because that is kind of the ongoing joke of your, you know, commercialized pop or whatever. But I do find that I really enjoy, you know, music that, like Taylor Swift's two albums she dropped in 2020. Right. Don't care. They're fucking brilliant. They are handcrafted. She works with artists like The National, Bon Iver. The songwriting's amazing. Wasn't a huge fan of her previous stuff. I'll stand on a hill and say those last two albums were fucking gorgeous. But I do enjoy more of that. And I wonder if there's something to that, where like early on I was like, no pop music, screw radio. Like, I just want...
You know my theory? It's even simpler than that. I used to buy music because it irritated my parents.
But see, I didn't do that.
And now I live alone. I can listen to whatever I want.
My parents were cool, though. My parents were like, they're like Little Feet and Cream and Yardbirds. Like, I didn't have that.
Oh, mine
effect.
Too. That's why I went Black Sabbath on them.
I mean, don't you find it interesting, though, that as we age, we start finding that, like, you know, like Ben saying, you know, I was not a pop fan. Now I do like pop. Yeah. Or, you know, like you said, with the synth sound, like, I wasn't. Now you're like, oh, this is cool. And I'm kind of starting to find the same thing too, you know.
Well, I guess we're no longer worried about being cool in high school and like, I mean, your music used to define you. It was what buttons you had on your jean jacket or whose t-shirt you wore. And now it's when I got to college in particular, and this guy across the hall likes the blues, he likes jazz, he likes, yeah, you know, British stuff. And so you learned a lot. You're like, okay, it's okay to like all the other types of music. And it,
yeah, I listen, you know, to classical music in the car now. I'm like, who am I?
I listen to a lot of. I might
get a brand.
I played Mozart's Requiem the other day just because I haven't heard that in a while. It's great.
Well, Bram's got me hooked on lo-fi hip hop,
yeah,
which
so
is
good.
Super chill and like just like. Oh. It's really nice, but he introduced me to this channel on YouTube, and it's on Spotify now, too. But, like, I'll be doing work, and I just put on lo-fi hip-hop, and it's just sound. It's wonderful. It's freaking great.
And I've gotten into drum and bass the same way, yeah.
Morning A Black Star.
What? What is this?
Morning A Black Star. M-O-U-R-I-N-G.
Okay.
It's British.
Bracket.
Yeah.
Black Star.
Yeah.
Lo-fi hip-hop.
Okay.
It's incredible.
I'll check it out. For sure. For sure. Cool. Well, hey, Ian, thank you so much for being on this. We really do appreciate it. We will make sure to put in, you know, all the good links and, you know, make sure to credit everybody accordingly.
Your OnlyFans.
Your OnlyFans, yeah.
This is it right here.
I have to make a note. There were a couple great phrases during this conversation that should work as band names.
Let's recap
Bram.
Band names we learned
they
today.
They are Gas Station Warriors.
Yes.
Great band name. Yeah. And Kool-Aid Smiles. Credit to you there, Ian. Also, I need to give a public service announcement that breathing the same air at a concert was pre-pandemic. Thank you, Darren.
Yes,
we're
right,
sure our
right.
listeners
not,
are being safe out there. I hope you guys are doing well in Appleton, Wisconsin. We will see you very soon. Thank you, Ian, so much. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Good to see you guys as faces, and take care. Stay positive, test negative.
Thanks, man.
Oh, cool. That's, one.
That's another band
that's
name.
Also a great
another
band name.
Band name.
When you listen to this podcast, please wear a mask.
See you, buddy.
See you, man.
Take care.
All right, that was Ian Thompson from Appleton, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being on the show, as mentioned before. Two of my favorite co-hosts, Mr. Darren Snyder.
Hi.
Bram Epstein.
Thanks, Daddy.
Of Global Plague.
I haven't decided which of you is my favorite yet.
That's fine. We'll run some tests and we'll figure it out. And
we'll get up to an EKG.
We will be back next week with another episode. And stay tuned. We will be announcing who that guest will be shortly.
We know, but you don't.
Yeah, it's a secret. Thank you, guys. Take care.
It might suck if we don't actually put it out. As
I mean, it's possible. So, all right. Thanks, guys.